It's the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A presentation of Becky Holm, your insurance professional, focusing on Medicare, Marketplace, dental, and life.
And this morning, talking with 2nd District Congressman Cliff Bentz, who represents a wide area of Oregon, including about half of Douglas County. Congressman, good morning.
Kyle, it's great to be with you.
So overall, how is this session of Congress starting off, at least in your opinion?
Well, it's never a dull moment, I'll tell you that much. There's lots of things that we're trying to work on. We're continuing our work on health care to address the incredibly high cost of health care, not just for folks at the lower end of the income scale, but frankly, across the entire scope of health care. It's through the roof. I've been using one of my brothers. I have five little brothers, three of them are in the ranching business, and one of them was sharing with me his Blue Cross Blue Shield cost for his policy, and it's $2,800 a month, up some $400 or $500 a month. His deductible, Kyle, is $13,000. And so people across the entire healthcare space are paying huge amounts of money for healthcare. And I just met with some folks a few minutes ago, and they were telling me that their quote for their company policy had gone up. The quote was up 50%. And so we absolutely have to continue to address these issues, and we've been doing just that. And one of the committees I'm on, the Healthcare Subcommittee of Energy and Commerce, is focusing on those issues and trying to come up with some sort of approach that would I know the president's been talking about most favored nation status, which sounds like something on the foreign affairs side of things, but really it's just trying to get the same price of drugs charged in the United States that you would pay up in Canada or some other foreign nation. That's an interesting concept, and we've been studying that. And then I could go through an entire list. But anyway, we're working on that. We're also working on electrical power, and you know I've talked about that before. But there is no doubt that Oregon and the Northwest is in danger should we have a weather event that drives either the temperatures way up or the temperatures way down. We could actually see blackouts in Oregon and Washington, even over in Idaho. And so we've been working on that. And again, that's my committee that's working on that, because I'm on the Energy Subcommittee of Energy and Commerce. But I could go on, but there's just an awful lot going on. We're trying to get the budget wrapped up, Kyle. And one of the people would say, well, why does it take so long to do a budget? And that's because, unlike the Democrat administration run by Nancy Pelosi, who would just cram all 12 budgets into one great big omnibus bill and present it to you just before Christmas and say, here, vote for this or don't go home, that we're not doing that. What we're doing is taking all 12 bills through the hearing process. It's called regular order. And that gives everybody a chance to weigh in and then do the detail work that's necessary to do these budgets right. And we're now finally at the verge of passing. We've already passed three of those 12 budgets. We should pass another four or five of them in next week. And then we hope that we'll have this done before the January 30th date, so there isn't temptation on the Democrat side to shut down the government again.
And anything in particular that would impact Douglas County that you're working on at this point or plan to work on early in the year?
So thank you so much for the question. Of course, we were successful before the end of the year in getting the Speaker's support and the Freedom Caucus's support of the Secure Rural Schools Act, which hadn't been passed last year. We got it passed. I'm so happy for it, because it helps counties reliant on timber enormously in basically saying, because we know that because the spotted owl drove so much of the timber business away, that we, the federal government, need to step in and provide some support for schools and for roads. And so we got that bill passed, and that's going to be much to the benefit of Oregon and, of course, Douglas County in particular. We also are working right now, and I'm happy to say it looks as though We're going to get it done. The payment in lieu of taxes bill, PILT, which is a great big deal across the entire state of Oregon. It pays counties a certain amount of federal money in return for the fact that there is so much federal land in our counties that is not producing income. And so this money is designed to offset some of the losses that counties encounter. And so I know that in Douglas County, the amount coming in is a little less than $1 million, but it's still hugely necessary for county operations. And so I know back over my county, Malheur County, because it's so big and there's so many federal acres, it's 3.6 million to Malheur County. And so and in Harney County next door is 1.4 million. I mean, these kinds of monies, Deschutes County, 3.9 million. These monies look like they're now forthcoming. So that we've been, of course, working on PILT. And when it comes to health care, we continue to work on the discussions of what's going to take the place be added to the choice of what we'll refer to as Obamacare. And people need to be given choices. And we're working on a smorgasbord of different ideas that would help drive down the cost of the availability of health care for people at all levels of the income ladder. So, yes, we're working on all of those things.
Are you concerned about all the turbulence in the world right now? We've got the recent events in Venezuela, Washington, Iran, and others.
Well, there certainly is a lot going on. I would say that on the Venezuela side of things, I've issued a rather long press release walking through my thoughts on it. And it seems to me that the president had it right in arresting Maduro. I believe that the thinking there was that they put an embargo, if you will, a stop on the export of oil. They had tried to stop the flow of cocaine out of that country, and they have done several other things. So I believe that the incredibly astounding surgical military strike to take into custody Mr. Maduro was necessary. And the challenge, of course, is what do you do once you've removed that gentleman? What happens next? And that's the big question. And we've been having meetings here regarding what is actually going on the ground in Venezuela when it comes to their oil production. Extremely interesting. At one point, they were generating about 3 million barrels a day. That's down to between 300,000 barrels and 500,000 barrels a day. And that's because their socialistic, almost communistic regime has been so bad at taking care of the incredible infrastructure it takes to produce that. They call it gunk. That oil is extremely thick, and it takes real expertise to make gasoline out of Venezuelan oil. And so the challenge now is how in the world do we properly assist Venezuela in getting back on track and getting away from its failure to take care of its assets. But it's definitely a situation that's evolving every day. But I appreciate the president's not putting our troops on the ground in Venezuela. I think that would be something that's going to take an awful lot more discussion about why we would do such a thing. But at this point, his attempt is to try to manage things from remotely by negotiating with their oil exports. They absolutely need those oil exports. They have to have it. That's really their only source of cash. And so I'll just stop there. There's Iran, of course, hugely challenging for the people in Iran to put up with the type of government that they have. But on the other hand, you have to be extremely careful with Iran. It sits at the crossroads of the oil crossroads of the world. And Iran, if it wanted to, could destroy a huge amount of the oil production for the world. And so this is not a situation where you want to go in with guns blazing, because Iran could, if it wanted to, destroy huge parts of the oil infrastructure in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and other places. So this takes real care in how we manage what's going on and manage, how we observe and watch and then try to help those poor people that are being taken advantage of by their government. But you can't fix everything, Kyle. I wish those folks over there the best that are trying to get out from underneath the thumb of the folks that are in charge in Iran.
Congressman Cliff Bentz on with us. A couple minutes left. Greenland, why the push from the administration, especially with all the pushback we're getting from our NATO allies, including Denmark?
Well, the president hasn't chosen to come over and share with at least this congressman exactly what his thinking is. So what the research I did over the weekend to try to answer that exact question showed me that I believe the president's concern is driven by the worry that Greenland would be taken over by either Russia or China. And it would serve everybody well to take a look at how large Greenland is. It's about 25% larger than Alaska, and it runs up into the Arctic Circle. Right now, that ice is going away. And so all of a sudden, instead of having a big ice cap into which Greenland protrudes, we have a open water. And so the challenge is, how in the world would little Greenland defend itself should China or Russia decide to take it over? And that is what the president is concerned about. His approach is not my approach, but at least he's done a good job in calling out the danger. The real challenge now is, what are we going to do about it without alienating further of our friends? So that's not my committees, but I'm sure interested.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you look at Greenland. I think a lot of people don't pay a lot of attention to it. I noticed coming back from Italy back in the fall just how many hours it was that we were flying over Greenland. And I would check periodically, and we were still over Greenland, and it went on and on. I think a lot of people, you could look at a world map and go, okay, yeah, it's big. But until you're trying to fly over it and you realize that you're still over Greenland hours later, that's kind of a shock there. Just about out of time. What's maybe your top priority for you in the next few weeks?
Well, healthcare is going to be the top priority. Medicaid is an essential program. We've got to figure out how to appropriately manage our way through the changes that we have made. And the cost that people are having to pay for healthcare right now is through the roof. We've got to figure out ways of providing better care for less cost. And so that's going to be the primary focus.
All right. We'll check in again soon. Appreciate our time with 2nd District Congressman Cliff Bentz. Congressman, thanks for being on this morning.
Thank you, Kyle.
844 at the Morning Report.